Somebody has mortgaged all of his property, and he had owed tsuba to his wife. He had divorced his wife, or he owed a chov to a baal chov. He had borrowed money. And in this case, we're not concerned with the suspicion that we had in the previous mission. He was only divorcing his wife in order to collect the tsuba from Hegdir. As we're talking about where he divorced his wife before he was mortgaged his property. So therefore, the amount that is owed to the tsuvas isha and to the baal chov is not Hegdir, since the money was owed to them. Eina isha yechola likvay tsuvasa mina Hegdir. The lo baal chov as chovo. Even though the money that is owed to them is not Hegdir, still the isha cannot directly collect the tsuva from Hegdir, nor can the baal chov directly collect his chov from Hegdir. Ela hapoda poda amanaf litain liisha tsuvasa ula baal chov as chovo. Instead, the person who redeemed the property from Hegdir, as even though this property is not Hegdish, it still has to be redeemed. As we don't want people to think that Hegdish is yotzei below pidyon, that Hegdish is being taken without any redemption at all being given to Hegdish. So therefore, the baal chov, or the baal, the husband, that owes the ksuba to the isha, would redeem the property from Hegdish by giving a small amount of money to Hegdish, and he redeemed his property almanach on condition that he would give that property to the isha for a ksuba, or to the baal chov for his chov. And that way nobody will think Hegdish is yotzei below pidyon, since he is redeeming the property by giving a small amount of money to Hegdish. He doesn't have to give the full value to Hegdish as a pidyon, since it's not really Hegdish. He has to give a small amount, so people will not think that Hegdish is yotzei below pidyon. Hegdish tisha mana, v'ha yachovo mea mana. Somebody who owns 90 mana, who has makdish all of his 90 mana, but he had a chov of 100 mana. He owed money 10 mana more than what he had, than 10 mana more than what he was makdish. So therefore, in this case, the 90 mana is not Hegdish at all, since he owed it to somebody else. And we don't say that the person who lent him the money did not have das to collect from this 90 mana, since the 90 mana does not cover the whole chov. And since he doesn't have das to collect from it, when his makdish it should be Hegdish. We don't say that. We think that the person who lent him the money did have das to collect from this 90 mana, even though it doesn't cover the whole chov. So therefore, the 90 mana is not Hegdish. Mosif odinor upoda boas and achasim halalu amanat litain liishak suvasa ulabachov es chovo. The malva, the person who lends him the 100 mana, will lend him an additional dinar, so that the lover with this dinar can redeem the property that he was magdish on condition to give it to the isha for her ksuva, or to the bachov for his chov. As the lover has no more money left, since he was magdish all of his property, so the malva will give him a dinar so that he can redeem the property with one dinar. As he doesn't have to redeem the property with the full value, since it's not really Hegdish, and the only reason it's being redeemed is that people should not say Hegdish yotzei below pidyon, so he will give him a dinar. The lova will redeem the property and will pay back his chov with the property that he redeemed from Hegdish. Even though we have said previously that somebody who's chayav erechin to Hegdish, we force him to pay off the erechin. If somebody said erech plenty a lot, and his mechuyis to give the erech of that person to Hegdish. If he doesn't give it, Bezen comes in b'koach and forces him to give it. Even though we force him to pay off the chov, we don't leave him penniless. If we would take the entire erechin, that would leave him without mazon or ksus. We don't take the entire thing. Instead, we leave him mazon food that would support him for 30 days, and we leave him clothing that would keep him clothed for 12 months. And if he doesn't have mazon or ksus, we leave him enough money to buy mazon for 30 days and ksus that will keep him clothed for 12 months. Umita mutzat. We leave him his bed with his bedding. With sandalim, we leave him his shoes. With tefillin, we leave him his tefillin. Lo avalo liishto, v'lo levana. We leave these things only for him himself. But we don't leave him anything for his wife or for his children. Even though a person is mechuyis to support his wife and is mechuyis to support his children under a certain age, even so, we don't leave him these things. If we take the entire erech and he will not have mazon or ksus for his wife and his children, we take it anyway. Imhaya uman nosim lo shnei klei umnis mikal min v'min. If the person who was chayav the erechin was an uman, a worker, and if we would take the entire erechin, he would not have his klei umnis, the kelim that he uses to support himself. We would not take the entire thing. Instead, we would leave him two klei umnis, two kelim that he needs for his work, mikal min v'min, from each type of klei umnis. We would leave him two of them. Charash nosim lo shnei matzadim. For example, if he was a carpenter, we would leave him two matzadim, which is a kli they use to smooth out the wood, and we'd also leave him two saws. Rather, the other one, Hayah Ikor, Noisim Lo Et Simdo. Chamor nos lo es chamor. But the other said, if the person who was chai the erechim, or the person who worked in the field, we would leave him a pair of cattle. This is considered clay umnasa. And if he was a donkey driver, we would leave him his chamor. We would not take his chamor. And this is also considered clay umnasa. While according to the Tanakhama, behemoth are not considered clay umnasa. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, we would take the tzemed from the ikor, and we would take the chamor from the chamor.